Now we come in chapter 5 that the ark is brought in, that the temple now is completed, and we won't go into the details of that. We had that back in Kings. And now will you notice, this is chapter 5, verse 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes of the chief of the fathers, the children of Israel, into Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Now, Zion is just right up on top of the hill from the temple area, and not very far, by the way. I walked it several times, both up and down, and found that it was not too far, and of course, very interesting. Now, I made a statement before that I did not know where David brought the ark, and I still don't know, but it was up in the city of David, which is Mount Zion. And that, of course, is not a very large area, but that's where David brought it. Now, we find that they have met now to bring in the ark, and they sacrifice sheep and oxen, which could not be numbered for multitude. Now, the thought here is that there was no attempt to count them for the very simple reason they're speaking of that sacrifice of Christ. My friend, you don't measure it, nor can you measure it at all. This is a tremendous statement here, and very important. God's calling attention to it in a very definite way here. Verse 9, chapter 5, 2 Chronicles. And they drew out the staves of the ark. At the end of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. That is the time of the writing of this book. The staves were taken out of the tabernacle. It is to move no more. That ark here was constructed down in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. And the children of Israel spent 40 years in that wilderness. That ark went before them across the Jordan River. And that ark now had been brought up by David to Jerusalem. It was up at Mount Zion where his palace was. Now it's brought down to the temple that has been constructed. This thing of beauty, it's like a gem that was there. Now this is the place where God is meeting with his people. But the interesting thing is, this ark had been on the wilderness march all of those years. And it had been moved after they got in the land from place to place. We saw in Samuel how the Philistines even captured it at one time. Now it's put in the temple into a permanent resting place, and the staves are withdrawn. Now that ark, as we've seen before, speaks of the person of Christ, of who he is. On top of it was a mercy seat. How wonderful. Now, it's brought to a permanent place in Jerusalem. From here on, the children of Israel are to come to Jerusalem, the males, three times a year at three of the feasts, at Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. They were to be there. And this ark, speaking of the person of Christ, the mercy seat speaking of his work of redemption, shedding his blood where the throne of God is a mercy seat today. That is all permanent. Now, Christ has appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That is permanent. That is basic. That is established. That cannot be moved. Let me use the figure of speech here. The staves have already been pulled out, and there'll be no movement anymore. There'll be no other way of salvation. Peter could say to his people, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Friends, the staves have been pulled out. The ark's not on the move. And then it speaks of rest. The Lord Jesus gives rest to those that come to him. But there's going to be a place of rest. And that place of rest, you recall, he said to his own in the upper room, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The place is prepared. And one of these days, we're to go to that place. And we're told that one of the characteristics of that place is the permanence of it, is the fact that it is a place of eternity. It is the place where no longer will there be any tears. No longer will there be any death. These things have passed away. We find that there is the throne of God. And he said it's done because he's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And we're told here that this is heaven. This is the city of God. And the foundations of that city are permanent. They are forever. They are 12 foundations that are there. And the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple of it. Friends, the staves have been pulled out. They're already pulled out. How wonderful. We're not going to be on the march. You don't have to go looking for God today. As we saw in Romans, Paul says you don't have to go to heaven to bring him down or down to hell to bring him up. It's right there for you. It's permanent. It is eternal. It'll not be changed. It drew out the staves. Now, verse 10, and there was nothing in the ark save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And there are two things now that are missing. One is Aaron's rod, and the other is the pot of manna. Both of those were there. The pot of manna, you remember, ordinarily manna would disappear if they didn't gather it. And Aaron's rod, it budded, and all of that rod now has disappeared. Why? Well, because I think, friends, that both of these, the manna, which speaks of Christ as the bread of life, that speaks of his humanity and the fact that he feeds those that are his own, and Aaron's rod that budded speaks of his resurrection. Now, that's been actualized to us today by the historical fact that Jesus died. He was human. That's his humanity. He died, was buried, but he rose again the third day, and that's not human. Aaron's rod that budded. Now, will you notice, as we read on, verse 11, it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. You see, all of the courses came up for this act of dedication. And we have here that all of the singers and the trumpeters and all of those were there. And there was the blowing of the trumpets and the sounding of the cymbals and the instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, for he's good, his mercy endureth forever. And the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, we're told.